I don't know if I can follow that. Wow. Whew, thank you guys. It's been a long time since I've been up here. Now, when I grew up, I sat basically right over here. And my father told me, do not do anything to draw attention to yourself. Kind of hard not to do that when I'm up here. Anyway, so far this we've heard from Pastor Ken, and he gave us a fresh look at God. Yes. Brother Boyce talked about fear. Pastor David, he shared with us about focusing on Jesus. And I'm going to share about being perfect. You know, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. A few years ago, I had a homeroom class that actually challenged me on this verse. And more recently, I came across a video by Expedition 44, who they actually go through this stuff a lot, and they fleshed it out. And I have a picture for that. There we go. They go both Old Testament, New Testament, and they really flesh this topic out, and it's really good. And then near the end of my message, I'm going to share a Way Nation video that will kind of give us a little example of what I'm talking about. But if you want to check these out, go ahead. Let me give you a warning. Be careful that when you're reading the English words and phrases in the Bible, not to take them all at face value. This was the problem that I had with that homeroom class. See, they were taking that face value of the word perfect, and when I gave them what the Bible meant, you know, it kind of, they didn't go well with them, let me just say. So understand that when they translate, well, that is sounding very ringy. When they translate from one language to another, there are just complications that happen. There are words in one language that doesn't necessarily translate into another. If you speak more than one language, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So they have to come up with metaphors and similes and phrases and things like that to kind of give the same understanding. So that's one reason why they don't always go well. And also, our language has changed over the years. Imagine sitting down with George Washington and trying to have a conversation with him. Yeah. Right. So to illustrate this, I'm going to use the movie Timeline. Here, Gerard Butler is a modern archaeologist who's found himself in the past, floating down a river with a 12th century French princess. All right, and he's asking her a string of questions. And it sounds kind of like this. Are you married? No. We've been fighting the English since before I was born. There's no time for marriage. Of course. Are you with anyone? I'm with you. What I mean, is there someone that you see? Do I see? Nobody. It is possible they're hiding on the shore or in the woods. They could be anywhere. We are speaking the same language, but you don't understand a word I'm saying, do you? No. It's a great reference on how our language has changed over the years. So when you're studying the scriptures, you kind of got to know who the target audience is, which, by the way, is not us. All right, so you kind of have to also know their culture and do your best to kind of understand their language. Now, that's not just their words, but also their ways of speech. Idioms are ones that have been brought up a lot. And an idiom would be like, "Ugh, you're killing me. Are you really killing me?" So be careful when you take those English words or phrases at face value. Now, as you dive deeper into Scripture, be open to having what you believe change. You might find that what you were taught or how you perceived a scripture may not be what it really is. And as a side note, if you are a beginner in this process, just get a Bible and just read it through several times. Get the big picture of His message. Amen. Then you can dive deeper. All right. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity you've given me to speak. I just pray that my words are your words, And I just pray that you help me to communicate what needs to be communicated today. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Shortly before Jesus went to Jerusalem, where he was betrayed and executed, a wealthy young ruler came up to him and asked him a question. "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" So he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God." No one is good but God. Let's continue on. "But if you want to enter into life, keep his commandments." Or keep the commandments. Which ones? Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your mother and your father. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." If this guy wants to be perfect, all right, so only God is good. But if this guy wants to be perfect, all he's got to do is a few tasks. If you're thinking something getting lining up, you're probably correct. But hold that thought. All right, let's jump back a few chapters to chapter 5. This is the Sermon on the Mount. All right, here Jesus is basically starting off with the "Blessed are," and then comes to the "You've heard that it is said." Jesus is talking about someone's character. He is teaching about a standard or a measure of what he is expecting. You see, we're not supposed to be measuring ourselves to each other. You know, the whole, "Well, I'm not as bad as that guy." You know, and also, you know, some of us have this habit of buying things in order to keep up with the Joneses. You know, our standards are not the world's standards, but God's. And God is perfect. And we have to be like that. Can we really be like that? All right, so let's do a little word study, all right? So when you think of the word perfect, in our modern mindset, we think flawless. But that is not what those listening to Jesus would have thought. All right, so the word there is teleos. And nowhere in Scripture have I found that it means flawless. So according to the blueletterbible.org, these are some of the usages of the word: brought to its end, finished, wanting nothing necessary to completeness. And that's what I really want you to focus on, okay? Wanting nothing necessary to completeness. Now, under this, we have words like full grown, adult, of full age, or mature. Now, the CLV, when in the passage it says be perfect, it uses the word mature instead. So we're going to focus on that. So when Jesus was talking to these people, they were very agrarian people, right? So they would really have understood maturity, especially when it comes to fruits and vegetables. Because when a fruit or vegetable is mature, it's ripe and ready to be eaten. All right, now Pastor Tim, when I was telling about this, he said, "Yeah, and they also have seeds in them." Seeds used for planting new fruits and vegetables, something about disciples making disciples. And Paul, in Galatians 5, gives us another idea of fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, that's patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Okay, enough about fruit. Let's go back to Matthew. When Jesus was telling them to be perfect, he wasn't telling them to be flawless. He was telling them to be mature in their character, to be like God's character. In the last part of chapter 5, right, we come right before my target verse, he's talking about love. And so on verse 43, it says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." All right, so what standard is he about to say? "But I say to you, love your enemies." Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you, sorry. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Nice standards, huh? That you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Tax collectors? I don't know if you know this, but people despised tax collectors. Ouch. So if you do all these things, let's wrap it up. Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. When Jesus, in verse 43, starts off with love one another, this phrase is repeated all over the place. But in the upper room the night before he was betrayed, he told his disciples, a new command I give you, that you love one another. Now this is what really twists it for me. As I have loved you, that you love one another. It's a way different standard. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. I believe this is crucial to being like the character of God, loving others as God has loved us. Amen. On the first day of VBS, we learned that God loves you no matter what. Yes, I had one person say it. I believe we are to do the same thing for others. As I was studying for this, I ran across a version of my Matthew verse in the Worldwide English New Testament. And it goes like this. We must be good in every way as your Father in heaven is good in every way. Remember that rich young ruler? All right. So to conclude my word study, perfect doesn't mean flawless. Although God is flawless. It means to be mature in the character of God. All right, so now we got that word study taken care of. Why do Christians put on this flawless image when we're around people? Earlier I talked about my father, and he was constantly getting on to me. He said that I made him look bad. Now, when I'm misbehaving, I kind of get that. But when it was just my sensibilities and his sensibilities didn't line up, not so much. It's as if I tarnished his flawless image just by being a teenager. Now, there are others, though. They hide behind this image of perfection. You know, they may be suffering from cancer. They may have an eating disorder or anxiety. You know, whatever it may be. You know, they're hiding this because they think it might show some kind of weakness or a lack of faith or some other negative thing. The issue really comes down to we live in a fallen, sinful world. And these things are just there. All right? So, how can we be the body of Christ if we don't know when someone is hurting? If we don't know when someone has an issue? All right? Now, I'm not suggesting that you jump up and start yelling out all your issues. No. I'm talking about finding somebody, talking to them, and then getting help. Now, community groups are a great way of creating this kind of support group. I've got a video here that we're going to show of Jen Ledger, who is a Christian drummer for the rock band Skillet, and she's going to share about a time in her life. Go ahead and play that.
After being in Skillet for a while, I really felt, you know, fear would pop up in little ways, whether it was a big show and I'm just a bit nervous. But it was about 3 years ago where I started to have panic attacks and anxiety in a way that I'd never had before. I was waking up in the night with like actual terror in my heart. That's and awful. It was horrible. It was really intense season. And it was when I was praying about the Ledger Project and it was kind of starting to become more real. And I thought, I just felt discouraged and I felt completely defeated. Cause I'm like, you know, when you wake up in the night that afraid and you're claiming to be a person of faith on a platform, the enemy quickly tells you, see, you're not good enough, you're not brave enough, you're not strong enough, this is who you really are. And it made me feel a bit like a fraud or like, I can't believe that I would fight something like this when I'm meant to be a woman of faith. And I was wrestling through that a lot and it was, such an intense season that I thought, surely now that I've wrestled that, it was that dark. I'll never have to face. I thought it was like the final victory. I really dealt
like,
with the
I'm
root.
I'm doing better. I'm
healed. You're like, it's the root of the issue. I finally got to it, you know. And it was about a year later, I was on stage with Skillet, and I felt the panic start to come back, and it just like freaked me out.
It.
Yeah, I was like, I thought I'd beat it. And so I came off stage and I talked to Corey Cooper. She plays guitar for Skillet, and I just said, after all these years, I cannot believe that I'm still struggling with this same thing after fighting it over and over and over again. Like, what if this is something that just never goes away for me? And she looked at me and she said, then you fight, Jen, while there's breath in your lungs, and until the day that you die, you never stop fighting, and you do not let fear rob you of your own life.
Wow. Because of her issues, she questioned her role in ministry. She thought she had victory over it, and then it came back. But instead of hiding it, she went to someone that she trusted and respected and was giving some great advice on how to move forward. Worship team, you guys can come on back up. We are all flawed, all right? Just look around. We all have issues. Some of us deal with superficial issues. Some of us deal with chemical deficiencies that cause problems. You know, and some, it might just be the past that keeps haunting. Whatever it may be, if you keep it to yourself, it's going to hurt your spiritual growth. And it may even push you away from God. And that will definitely hurt the church body. The wealthy young ruler, his wealth was his issue. You see, his wealth came between him and God. What is coming between you and God? We are to love God and we are to love others. Maybe you're having a hard time doing that. Maybe you're having a hard time loving yourself. The altars are always open, or you can use the prayer room. If you need to seek God, come. So stop trying to live up to a false and worldly standard. Stop letting flaws and issues hold you back. Do not let anything come between you and the mature character of God so that you can be perfect just as God is perfect. I'll close with this. While there is breath in your lungs until the day that you die, never stop fighting. Do not let your issues rob you from your own life. Thank you.